Good.
I feel like a little kid in a candy store, pretty much.
Okay. That's
welcome to another episode of President Enlightenment. Guys, this is part two. I promised you guys that we would come back. And I am so excited to continue this conversation because I wanted them to go into some details so that you guys can, including myself, I'm in this group when I say you guys, so that we can locate where we are and we can get into their space so that we can free ourselves through the understanding of how sacred geometry can align each one of us. And so this is the purpose, and I wanted to bring them back so that we can welcome both of them so that they can come in. Gail and Gregory, thank you guys for coming back the second time and sharing your precious time with us and your wisdom and your knowledge. And I'm going to turn it over to you guys. Do what you do, man. And thank you for coming.
Oh, well, thank you, Ken. It's wonderful to be here.
So I'm excited.
We're going to have fun.
And you know, Ken, what we do is, it's, you know, this is our life's work. We've been doing this together, as we've shared earlier, for close to 40 years now. And it really was something that, for me, landed in my lap, unbeknownst. You know, it's like, it certainly wasn't something when I thought about, what am I going to be doing for the next 40 years? I knew that it was going to be something around supporting the evolution of consciousness. But I didn't know the vehicle until Gregory and I got together. And, you know, there were a lot of higher forces that brought us to recognize each other and to spend all of these years working together now. And, you know, when I think about why was it the way that it is, why is it that sacred geometry was like the pivot point for us? And it gets back to the curiosity and the desire to understand and to be a part of universe in a evolutionary and conscious way. And, you know, everything in universe is not just crazy and random and unpredictable. However, from our linear mind, you know, from the place that we are often programmed into being in, it can look that way. It can look very strange and uncomfortable. I remember as a little child thinking, where do I belong? How did I land here? And what I've come to realize is that by opening up the higher senses, I can grasp that. I can understand what it is. And sacred geometry, it's like the understanding the pathway of how energy comes into form, how we go from spirit into matter. And that's what's so exciting about it, because you can look at it on so many levels. You can look at it totally physically. You can look at this metaphysically, all the levels in between. It teaches us about how everything is vibration, energy, frequency. And when we can expand ourselves to that understanding, then we have a pathway. We have a greater way of being able to navigate our lives and bring our soul vibration into this planet. And I believe that this is such a powerful time now, Ken, where so many of us, I know you really feel the calling, we understand that it's filled with so many different crises and things that the earth and people are going through that look really rough. The truth is that we're right on course. We're here being awakened so that we can all come together to make this, the place that we hold in our hearts and souls, that this can be.
What I find is really powerful about sacred geometry is the fact that it is built on relationship. Everything in universe relates to everything else. And physics is telling us that more and more. Quantum physics speaks to the fact that they call it entanglement. And what I like to see from what we've been doing, and what I like to say, is that this entanglement is really about relationship. And this relationship is about harmonics. It means that when you have a C tone that's vibrating and you have a C tuning fork, it will start to mesh and vibrate too with that tone. Yeah. And we don't realize that that's how everything is relating through these energetic harmonics. We can sometimes get clues from the shape of things, the geometry of things. And when that geometry of something starts to vibrate with a universal frequency, it's moving energy because its shape is reflecting the energy that created it, the energy that came first. We live in a soup of energy. 99.99999% of us, of everything, is pure energy.
Yeah.
There's only a little bit of physical matter involved in this whole play. And that little bit of matter, that 0.00001%, is draping itself over the energy. It's working with the energy. It communicates with everything in its environment energetically. And we see things and hear things and feel things. It's all energy that we're interacting with. And then we just break it down into thinking we're in a physical body and we're thinking of things in the physical way. So that's where we start with sacred geometry. We look at how does the moon and its diameter and its workings and the earth and the sun and the stars and the galaxy and our bodies and the atoms and the molecules, how do they all relate? And when we find the relationships, we can start dancing with the universe in a natural way, in a way that we're meant to relate and dance.
I absolutely agree, 100%, because I said this on the onset, the first podcast, we go on the two journeys, the individual and then the interdependent journey. And quantum physics and sacred geometry goes into that interdependentness that we are all of a part of, meaning part of the, as you stated, the moon, the sun. We react, the body reacts, because I know I worked in the medical field, and my friends, I had lawyers and stuff, our friends, and anytime the full moon comes, all hell breaks loose. The hospitals are filled. People respond differently. It is absolutely interesting to have conversation with professionals in certain fields about just the moon, a full moon, and what happens. It's really an interesting conversation, and I love having those things. And as you look at the level of quantum physics, you actually see, as you stated, the entanglement part of it, where nothing happens just by happenstance. Even when we meet someone, it was not by happenstance. And so there, I try to educate folks. When people present to you, you have to learn how to, what is the reason? Are they bringing to, are they here to receive? Are they here to give? What is the reason? But they're there for a reason. And we need to become more present, if you will, in our living to figure out what that is. But they're there for a reason. It is sometimes to show you something about you, or you show them something about them. But I'm excited to enter into the beginning of this, because I want all of us that are listening and are part of this to get a better understanding of what they are telling us and what they're about to escort us into. And it's more so a deeper understanding of ourselves and how we relate to each other, how we relate to self, and how we can recognize locations as where we are and how to move out and move forward from that. So we want to give Gail and Gregory the floor, if you will, that, and I had invited them to bring their charts and stuff like that and lead us in to the conversation so that you and I can become better human spirits while we are here on this beautiful place called the Earth. Guys, just take it and look at us as a student, or not even a student, as a client just coming in for the first time to see you guys. And you are now going to begin to have those conversations, as they say, and we know those are several conversations that take place, usually sometimes years. But invite us to that beginnings and walk us through, and so that we can, you can take our hands and lead us through. And so I offer the floor to you guys so that you can take us through as brand new clients, if you will.
All right. So there's a lot of different places to start the journey.
I would like to start there.
And Gregory has he wants to show you some slides and yes, give you an idea of what we're talking about. In our book, Sacred Geometry, the way that we really wanted to put out the information was not only with words, but with images, so that you can really get the essence of what it is that we have here. So go ahead, Gregory, let's get going.
Okay. Well, Ken, here's an image of you, me, all of us as human beings, metaphorically. And we are like an iceberg. That means the majority of us is unseen, is hidden. And that little bit of a tip down here of the iceberg that we see, that's our 3D reality. That's where we bump into things and we say, this is who I am. And this is what the ego latches onto. That's a limited piece of reality. And therefore, ego says, I've got to get my piece in spite of what is going on with everyone else, because we got a limited supply. And I've turned it upside down because we think everything gets generated from, you know, from this headspace that we have. But really, we are being filled by that connection to spirit. And so the very top is soul. Energy moves from soul source through all these different dimensions. And dimensions are not as strange and foreign as we think they are. That is, like the emotional body, it really hangs out around us, and people can see colors in an aura. Some people can. And those colors are reflecting what's going on with us, with our emotions, with the fears, the angers, the upsets, the joys, the love. But that joy and love is really coming in from higher self. The things that the body generates are usually about protection. And that's what we've been doing since we were just a year or two old, is trying to get our needs met by dealing with that. And then, you know, we have some people that can see what's going to happen or what has happened, and that's on a mental level. So these are other dimensions that I'm talking about. And when we look at that iceberg and think of another metaphor that we have, is the boat on top of the ocean pumping energy down to the human being at the base of, which is this reality. So something to understand is this flow of energy keeps us alive, and all difficulties, all diseases that we experience in our 3D reality, it's a reflection of blockage or denial of that energy that's keeping us alive from source. So that connection is absolutely necessary and important. And here's another image from our book where we're showing all of these different issues in our environment with electricity, the computers, the cell phones, all the electromagnetic pollution. It puts a kink in that lifeline to spirit. And so does stress, negative emotions, the judgments, the beliefs, all the things going on with the toxins in our environment. These are all elements that affect our connection and ultimately affect our humanness, because we are reflections on this 3D part of our expression of the bigger part of ourselves. Yes. And it's that bigger part that we haven't touched into as deeply as we need to.
You know, another way of thinking about why do these things affect us so much is that when we experience ourselves as just energetic beings, then we are, in that way, we are connected to everything. So we're feeling these different vibrations. We deeply feel and are affected by the vibration of toxic substances, of fear and stress. You know, we can recognize in ourselves when we look at something in the news that makes us really concerned and sad, feel your body, it feels different. So yeah. We are energetic beings in a physical world that are experiencing the expressions of all these different vibrations. Now, the big thing is the integrity of our higher energy going to really manage all this, or is it going to get overwhelmed by so much of what is going on in our lives, in our environment, in our relationships? So that is really a way of kind of turning this whole thing into a different perception. Mm-hmm. If we are recognizing that what we must honor in the highest way is that all-encompassing soul vibration, then we allow that energy to really speak through us rather than the energy of the things that are disruptive. So for instance, you know, over all these years, we've been creating different tools based on these sacred geometric principles. And what they do is they're like an antenna system, a super highway to keep us connected to the higher levels of who we are. And when we do that, then that vibrational energy becomes more dominant. Yeah. And that's what really is going to reflect out in our lives, as opposed to being overwhelmed and distracted by so many of the other things that we were just showing you. So the nature of sacred geometry helps us come back to that loving foundation, that foundation of the wholeness of creation and who we are.
I love that. I love it. I love what you guys do, man.
So these are just some of the reflections of where we see geometry in our reality. And Source is resonating. That energy is resonating with the physical, and it creates energetic relationships. So energy can flow through harmonics. It uses number, pattern, cycle, time, measure, frequency, angle. All of this is under the auspices of sacred geometry, which is our space-time continuum. So if we look at, for example, all of these different spirals from a sunflower, broccoli, a nautilus shell, a galaxy, these are following particular patterns that we see in our human body. This is called the phi ratio. So what that means is that I have a calipers here that measures that ratio, where you have a smaller part relating to a bigger part as that bigger part relates to the whole. It maintains the same number. When I divide the little part into the big part, I get 1.6180. It keeps going. It's an irrational number.
Yeah.
That means it never ends after the decimal point. However, the geometry can be shown in a real way. That's not irrational. So it's like my middle finger, the first digit to my whole finger is in that relationship. And my wrist to my fingers are in that relationship. My hand to my elbow, my head to my navel, my shoulder to, you know, it just keeps going on. We're constructed this way.
Yeah.
All the insects are, all the plants are. And when we were talking about things like the moon and the earth, well, that's where things get really interesting when we start playing with geometry. Because back here, let's look at, here's something that's interesting. When you have the diameter of the moon in miles, it's 2,160. Now, in time, a zodiacal sign is 2,160 years. That means we're just leaving Pisces, we're moving into Aquarius, part of the awakening of humanity connecting to one another, and it's resonant with the diameter of the moon. And this geometry, a cube, has 2,160 degrees. So the cube is resonant with all of that. Now let's start playing with some things where here we can see that we've added up the degrees on the surface of these different platonic solids. There are only five of them. They're responsible, Plato says, for building everything in universe. And here you see you've got the number of degrees in these particular solids multiplied by 100. We have the diameter of the sun. The group below, it's the diameter of the earth. And then the cube is the diameter of the moon. We then start taking things like the diameter of the moon plus the diameter of the earth. It creates a geometry that looks like this down here, that when we make it a sphere, it has the same number of degrees as the earth and the moon added together in miles. And the way it's constructed, it's working with these same phi ratio elements. So this geometry that's sitting here next to me,
yeah,
that I can pick up, it's relating to the way the moon and the earth dance together. And the moon and the earth are working with that element, 1.618 just keeps going. That number, that relationship, that ratio that we find within our DNA, within our bodies, within everything living. So the earth and the moon dance together to help create life. And so many things in the universe, again and again and again, we keep coming back to a resonance that is supporting the creation of life. Yeah. And when we bring that into our environment, we can start to create a resonance that helps us reaffirm, reconnect, bring back into order what is resonant with all of creation and life, just by working with this geometry. Or another geometry is working with, well, this one is actually working with, let me show you this, it's kind of fun. It's working with this relationship between the moon and the sun and their diameters. Creates this 10,800 degree geometry. And as it turns out, every single triangle on this face is equal to the face of the pyramid at Giza. So they were working with something in that great pyramid to help work with living life energy, to help affect the organic nature of this planet, the consciousness of this planet, because that geometry is key to unlocking the bigger aspects of consciousness and understanding, which we, as this tiny reflection, as above, so below, we can have that same relationship with consciousness when we are dancing with these geometries, working with these energies, feeling that flow come into our lives the way the builders of the pyramid worked, the builders of Stonehenge, these different ancient churches that drew upon these sacred numbers and aspects of creation in their building. It was to help inspire, which is a word which means to be filled with God, to be filled with consciousness through walking in a geometry that's reflective of the purity of consciousness. And that's what happens when we go into nature and we sit next to a stream and we feel the sun shining down on us. Everything around us is reflecting the natural order, the natural geometry of what is. So nature is very healing for us. And yet we have so little time to go into that environment. And that's where what we're doing with sacred geometry helps create that reality.
That's powerful stuff, guys. I mean, I'm hoping that all of you are paying attention as both Gregory and Gail are teaching us or enlightening us, if you will, as to how the uniqueness of who we are and how we are connected to all of it that is around us. And that shows how beautiful, how precious you truly are. And all of you that are in those dark places of pain, you are precious. Right where you are, you're as beautiful as you will ever be, right where you are. And don't allow any of those negative energy that Gregory had mentioned that is out there to cause you to make decisions, a decision that will cause more pain. And I want to just lift you up, those that are there, to show you how beautiful this whole thing is. We are connected. So if we lose you, we're losing a part of us as well. So just, I want you guys to get to them. If you are in any type of pain, anyway, broken relationships, or pain manifests in many different ways, loneliness, all of those things are results of broken relationships. Get into their space and they will be able to walk with you and hold your hands. You are not alone. That's one of the reasons why I wanted them to come back to show you all. You are not alone. We're in this together. And reach out, and we'll be able to be a partner with you to assist you, to show you the greatness and the beauty that is you. So here you are, guys. What a precious gift both of you are. I told you on the onset, I was like a little kid in the candy store waiting for you guys to come back and began to teach us more. Gail, as you guys were putting this together, and I remember the first part of the interview when you guys were calling each other, that beautiful story of how you called each other together and you came together. When you started to put this together, both of you, but let me go to Gail first so that she can answer this. What, Gail, did you, once there you began to see it, how did you begin to dance, if you will, as Gregory had put it, dancing with the moon, dancing with creation? How did you begin to dance with creation and the effects of that wonderful dance in your life?
Oh, gosh. You know, I'm going to say, just like with dancing,
yeah,
it's one step at a time.
Yeah.
You know, when we dance, we listen to the music. We mm-hmm. find our rhythm. We yeah. find our partner oftentimes. And we express the joy of creation that we feel in the moment.
Yeah.
And so it really is, it is a dance. It's a journey. It is a way of being able to take in more and more of the amazing facets of what life is. And something that I wanted to share that I thought was really pertinent from what you were just saying, Ken, is that, you know, when we feel despair, when we feel separation, loneliness, all of those things, really what's happening is there's an illusion going on. We've somehow forgotten who we really are. We've made a mistaken conjecture of what's really going on.
Yeah.
Now, I was thinking about how there's so much separation in this world right now, where it almost seems like there's this polarity of these people and these people, these ideas and these ideas. And we are all reflections of each other because we are all part of the whole. Yeah. Now, some people may be expressing to us more of one perspective while other people are doing another. When we can look at that with the joy of a child, the child in the candy store, and go, wow, that's what they're showing us. They're showing us all of these different tastes, varieties, experiences of how they see it. And when we can take it as an opportunity instead of a threat, then we can want to know it more. We can want to understand ourselves more and see everything as a beautiful reflection of the whole.
Yes.
And sacred geometry in and of itself, I mean, if you take all the different little pieces of it, it all falls apart. What gives it its context is allowing it to express the whole.
Yeah.
And so I really feel like one of the things that we do in our book is we go through sacred geometry and it's how it travels through number, going from one or the wholeness, which is really the unknowable. When you just say, well, we are all one, it's so huge. You can feel a sense of it. You can feel the eternity of it. However, when you want to start describing it, that's when we start breaking it down. So we go from the whole and we move into duality.
Yeah.
And I think we're kind of stuck in duality in a lot of ways right now in our lives, because we're seeing, you know, one and two, we're seeing this and that, we're seeing the others instead of the beautiful reflection of all the different facets of the whole. If we think about that, you know, like the way that a diamond, when you put beautiful light on it, all these different facets will reflect. And in the reflection, they also take us into it because they're mesmerizing. They're so engaging. So I believe that one of the ways that we can really move back into positive relationships with what's going on is that kid in the candy store who wants to get to know it more, who wants to experience the otherness, because that's what enables us to truly get who we are and what all of this is. When we walk through nature, what keeps us engaged is not that it's just one flower that looks the same each time, or one snowflake that looks the same each. Every time we take a walk, we see something new. And we may even see the same flower, but with the way that the light is reflecting on it, it's going to look differently.
Yep.
So all of these differences are the richness of what we have here. So our challenge is opening up our understanding, and that has to go beyond our, you know, what we've learned in our mental body, but all the different perceptions of who we are, open it up to embrace what's being reflected to us. What's, you know, not only what's being shared with us, how we have an opportunity to engage with this. And then, you know, that way we start to express ourselves, build our consciousness more and more in a way of acceptance and love and gratitude and compassion. You know, when we walk through a beautiful place in nature, even though we may not be thinking about compassion. We're feeling it. We're feeling this beautiful otherness, and just feeling grateful for the magnificence of it. And so the more that we can train ourselves to do that, change the way, you know, our minds have been oriented, our eyes and senses have been oriented, and take it to the next level and find the wholeness in every single facet, and the wholeness within ourselves is what really gets built in that way.
Yeah, that's a beautiful description, I think. We have become, and I hate the negative connotation to tribalism. Tribalism has a tendency in some cases to make us dogmatic in our belief system and our approach of things. But I think we allow the negative part of tribalism to be more prominent than the other side of tribalism. I think the fact that one's tribe is, you have the different tribes and you have the main one, which we are all connected, and then you have the other pieces. That's what I think is beautiful, the other pieces. As you said, in nature, they're other pieces. And so because someone has a different perspective or mentality towards something or upbringing, whatever, and I'm from a different tribe, and I think the beauty is that we sit down and have this beautiful interaction and get to understand this tribe. Whereas the thing that we have been programmed to is that difference, we have to destroy that difference. And we focus on the destruction of this new tribe that we've just met or encountered through conversation. And that's what you see on the political arena. Whereas we ought to be sitting down and having this beautiful exchange of, and I think the designers of America, that's how they had designed it, that we come together and have and engage in this oratory exchange of ideas. And I think we have walked away from that. And it's my honor to have you guys here, because I think much of who you are and what you do is to make us, remind us of all of those tribes, the big tribe, the tribe that is in us, and the separate tribes, but how we are so united together and how we need each other. And I am so, I am honored that you guys are here. I say this because I know there's tribalism out there, the dark side of it. And it's my hope, as they're hearing this, that they would learn to be a little humble, whereas they, someone that is different than them in beliefs, you just sit down and say, hey, you know, we are all artists. I tell people, I love artists. I love people. My life is my creation. I'm an artist. Gail and Gregory's life, they're artists. And we all approach the canvas of life differently, if you will. Gail and Gregory have been together for many years. They've been doing this for a long time. But yet, Gail uses the canvas a little different than Gregory in certain things. And yet, they are able to have this unique bond that Gail can go to Gregory and say, you're using blue different. That's interesting. You know, explain to me how do you see that? That's it's called a situation that came up in your life and just utilized the color. And he may approach that situation differently, a use of blue differently than Gail. But once they have that conversation and the first podcast, he talked about that differences and how they came together and how they're growing stronger and deeper in love and as a team, as a, you know, as a unit. It's a possibility. They're just at a micro level. That is a possibility that can happen in the world. But how they do it is the model by which we all have to do it. we use colors differently, but we ought to engage in a conversation as to how and why, so we can learn from each other. Same question to you, Gregory. You are the dancer as well. How did you learn, if you will? Within the dance too, there's a degree of surrendering to the one that is leading in that dance, isn't there? And the universe is leading, and we have to learn how to surrender. How did you dance within your own space, Gregory? How did you begin to learn to do that as you got the knowledge of all of this information?
So, Ken, when you're talking about the difficulties that people have, when you're talking about the tribalism, the challenges, the pain, all the stuff that doesn't work, that's all happening at the tip of the iceberg. That's all happening in this 3D reality. And the whole nature of sacred geometry is that it describes not only what's going on in this universe in such a way that you could go somewhere, meet another civilization, and communicate with them through sacred geometry, because it's a language that carries forth throughout the universe. It also carries forth throughout the entire iceberg, our higher dimensional levels. It's the way the energy is moving from source through the different aspects of our higher dimensional being. And so the pain that people experience happens only at the tip of the iceberg. When you start connecting into these higher levels of your being, that's where consciousness resides. That's where love resides. That's where love and joy come from. We can't generate it within the body. We just generate the negative emotions that help protect us. You know, it used to be the saber-toothed tiger coming over the hill. I would, you know, see that. It would pump adrenaline through my body, and it would get me out of the situation. But today we have a boss that looks at us a little funny. We have a bottle of milk that spills on the floor. You know, something happens and we go through the same reactions because we're caught in this physical reality. For me, as I went through the Kundalini and started opening up, as I started communicating with a consciousness, intelligence beyond my physical, and could communicate and get answers, it started opening me up. I started dancing with that bigger part of myself that could get information, that could get, you know, all the shades of blue. And then when Gail would come in, she would come in sometimes. I remember one day she said, "Spirits told me we need to be working on something new. We need to be working on kind of," you know, she'd throw out this amorphous thing. And then I would hear that. And my reaction, because we were both dancing with spirit, would be, "Oh, we need to do da da da." And she'd say, "Yes, but da 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 da," and we would dance back and forth, and we would create things. We would create geometries. Sometimes it would be interesting. This one geometry we have that does such a wonderful job of taking an environment into a higher space outside of the barrage of electromagnetic pollution. When we first turned it on, Gail remarked, "Oh my God, this feels, excuse me, exactly like what we went through years ago when we had this flood and it cut off the electricity, it cut off cars, movement, everything. For weeks, we were stuck here on our land, unable to move, but the quiet, the peace was so amazing. And, excuse me, when we turned this form on, it brought that feeling back. And yet when we were building this form, it has a little cup in it where we place another element. And when we were building it, Gail says, well, I think it's complete. And I was looking at it, asking guidance, and no, it needs something else. And we were both focusing on this cup. That's where we were told to focus. And maybe it needs this added. Maybe it needs this kind of a gem. Maybe it needs a coil. Maybe, maybe, maybe. Finally, what we hit upon, it needed a hole. We had to put a hole in the middle of it so there could be a flow of energy, like a donut, a toroidal flow. That's the way energy flows through us, top to bottom, bottom to top. We go back and forth. And through all of our chakras, they're like little vortexes of energy going in and coming out. Coming out one side of us, going in the other side. We are like stacks of donuts of energy. And so we had to take something away and create this hole for the energy to work. And that's really the gist of dancing with the universe. As Gail has said many times, the serendipity that starts to happen becomes so frequent that you realize this is the ordinary way of living a life.
Yeah.
To be in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people, and to feel the joy of being played with by universe, and that you are part of the whole, and it is using you in a way where being used by love, being used by universe, being used by consciousness generates more consciousness, generates more love. And that's where the dance with the universe becomes really meaningful. And when we expand to the bigger part of who we are, and then all the information of universe is there for us. Whatever it is that is within our opportunity to be a servant and bring that information forth to share with others, universe wants to see that happen in each one of us in our unique way, in the way we are going to dance with spirit. It will allow us to bring that dance into the world, maybe as a dancer, literally.
Yeah.
Maybe as an artist, maybe as a cook, maybe as a scientist, maybe as someone that can build things with wood or whatever. The point is, we have an opportunity to be of service and to feel the perfection running through us when we're in that space of expanded beyond our little tip of the iceberg.
Absolutely, I agree 100%. You guys, what a wonderful opportunity we have. I want you to go out and buy their books, and that all this information in more detail is there for you, all of it. And we're going to provide everything for you guys to get to them, because it is necessary for you to get there, because I want to hear testimony from them. And you guys can call me and let me know, and I'll make sure that they know, so that they can become aware of the effectiveness of this conversation and from the reading of their books. And you know how I feel about what books are. they are treasure troves of power. When you afford yourself the time, don't read a book to rush, read a book to be changed. And what'll happen is once you get into your space, you know, your cup of coffee, your tea, whatever it is. I know the moms have to hide, going to take that tub, and you're there and you're reading. The words have the ability to become alive. They will leap from those pages, drop into that being of yours, that subconscious being, your soul, that power. And when it gets there, it begins to resonate and begin to change, and that vibration will become louder, and you'll start making those decisions that will change your life. Guys, I'm hooked on you, and so I can't wait. I'm going to stay in your space, and I just want to thank you for coming. If you guys have anything else you want to share, just go ahead. The floor is yours. If not, we you know, just let everyone know we'll give you everything and buy these books for press. Just give them out to people. First, buy it for yourself, and then give it out to friends and so forth. And I'm going to get myself a couple of copies myself. I actually do my very best to practice what I preach. So as I tell you to go, I want to buy. I have friends that I give books to us when I interview as well. So thank you, guys. If you have anything else to share, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Ken. We had a slide up there just before when you were talking about our book that gives people a free chapter. The first chapter of our book, we talk about consciousness, because that's really what the driving force of everything that we've done is about, consciousness. So we ask you to go to that website, iconnectall.com/chapter, and you'll be able to get that first chapter and see where we're coming from. I think you get where we're coming from these conversations for sure. But you'll go into more detail. And then from there, we'll start to get into some of these conversations about structure and number and form and all the things that we've just, you know, given you little tidbits of here. And, you know, I think the question is, why should I spend my time doing this? Because your time is really valuable. And just like what Ken was sharing, this information can be a resource for you to be able to take it to what can create your life in a more powerful, loving, inspired life. And not only will the book do this, but, you know, it took us close to 40 years to get to the point where we finally got a book out, because all these years, what we've been doing is we've been developing tools to support people in this evolutionary path, in being able to be more centered, more open, more connected. And I think the word connection is something that we've worked with so much in everything that we do, that it's time to come home and experience who we really are and the connections to the higher aspects of each and every one of us and all of creation. And so you'll find that we'll get into exploring some of those things as well and sharing with you some details of how we got to where we got to with all of this, where it came from, what the connections are, and most importantly, how it is a resource, a tool for you to expand your life, to engage the higher self in this physical world and Gregory's sitting here with something he wants to get into.
Well, whenever.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we have so much fun doing these programs together because we go back and forth and we know when we both have a chance to take over. One of the things that we've done is we've created pendants that we're wearing. And this is what a close-up looks like of one of the pendants.
Gorgeous.
And this is one pendant that is the front side and the back side. Remember how I said the energy flows down or it flows up within us? Depending on which way this is facing your body, if the left side with the star on it is facing your body, the energy is flowing up. You're going to feel it more mentally, more focused. So when I was writing the book, I would have that side toward my body. It helped me get the words down. It helped me stay focused. But if I left it on there too long, at the end of the day, I started feeling a little knocked out of my body. So I would turn it over to the other side and have a more of a sense of groundedness connected to the earth. And people can feel this when I put it in their hand and I turn it one way or the other. They go, oh my God, I can feel the energy moving. And that's what's really fun, is that people feel the energy from these things and from this pendant in their body, and it changes that energy. It changes the energy that's coming into you, like we said, walking in nature. It changes it so you feel good, so you feel connected, so it's easier to intuit things. And it changes the energy coming out of you. It's like this one grandmother shared with me, what I love about the pendant is that when I used to visit my grandkids, they would run away from me. Now that I have the pendant, they crawl all over me. And it's because they're attracted to the energy.
Yeah.
Children and pets are great examples of just following the energy, following what they want to do, what feels good. I've had prison guards remark that when they have their pendant on, prisoners treat them differently.
Yeah.
Teachers have a different experience. Psychologists, we have lawyers that put certain geometries up in their boardrooms because they know when they have a deposition that people don't yell at each other as much when it's running. Things shift. The energy shifts. We shift with the energy. We don't realize how much of what's going on in our lives is putting us on edge, is making us uncomfortable. Sitting in front of a computer all day, having the different things go on with the speed with which things are changing, the stresses, and then the negative emotions that come up. It's sometimes, once we get caught in the spiral, it's easy to follow that negativity down. We need something to break it, to pull us back into a higher sense of connection that, like the grandmother, the kids show up and they're happy. Another couple that was in their late 70s, I think, when they got the pendants from us, a week after getting them or a couple weeks, they came back to get something else. And the husband leaned over to me and he said, "What I love about the pendant is my wife doesn't yell at me as much anymore." And she overheard us and said, "I don't have to."
Wow.
And so they both shifted. They both shifted in their outlook, their energy, their field, their communication, their relationship.
Yeah.
Everything in this world that we are involved in, it's a relationship.
Yep.
Between us and the day, between us and the moment, between us and each other. And when that relationship can be opened, to this incredible possibility of all that is. That's what brings the excitement back in. That's what allows me, as I'm moving into my late 70s, a feeling of being connected, and I'm still joyful at being alive.
Yeah.
You know, there's something to look forward to because each day has an opportunity to discover something new, to learn something more about me and you and our relationship. Because the more I discover about myself, the more I have to share with you, and the more I learn from you, the more I know myself, because we have so much to share and so much in common. And we may start with the tribes,
yeah, like
we were talking about a while ago,
yeah,
because the tribe is first the safe place. That's your community.
Yeah.
There are some indigenous tribes. I remember reading this one article where they were talking about everyone comes into the world with a song. The mother, yeah, sings their special song. And when the person is having a hard time and they're getting out of sync with who they are and what's going on, the whole tribe surrounds them and they sing to them their song. They just sing.
That is beautiful.
And it's like that song of who you are draws,
yeah,
out that love, draws out the rightness of what you are to be doing. We so often forget, what am I supposed to be doing? It doesn't, yeah, feel right. It doesn't make sense. It hurts sometimes. We all, yeah, hurt so much. Wow, everything just blacked out with that. I don't know. Anyway,
yeah,
when we feel that love, when we feel our song, and that's it, the universe is singing our unique song to us, and we can't hear it because we're so surrounded in this little tip of the iceberg. We need to break free, and we need to break through and free and,
yeah,
and connect with who we are. And then that love can flow. And then we know the rightness of what we're doing. And maybe this relationship is dissolving, but we can see from a larger perspective, the universe has something more in mind.
Yeah.
The universe has something more to offer me. The universe has some deeper love to unveil, and I have to make space for it. So I'm letting go of this job, this place, this person, so I can allow the truth of who I am to be expressed in a higher, more loving way.
There's nothing else that I can say to that, guys. Again, we're going to provide everything for you to get access, the book, the penance, you heard the testimony about what it did and it does to folks. For those who are having difficulties with your boss, buy them one and see what happens. husbands and wives and kids and families, we are all energy. And when there's a disturbance within the family, you could see the disturbance of energy. And so to bring in a tool that is a beautiful piece and that can assist with the flow of that energy, why not? That's what it's all about. So again, I want to thank you so much, both of you. From the bottom of my being, from the center of it, all that is me, I honor both of you, for what you are doing and what you have started here at Threads of Enlightenment, and my hope is that many will be free to find out who they are and begin to flip that iceberg and dive in there and start seeing your soul, your core, your sacredness. And I thank them both, both of you, Gail and Gregory. Thank you for coming to Threads of Enlightenment.
Our deepest pleasure. And let's stay in touch, Ken. You are just, it's an honor and a blessing to have connected with you. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I promise I will be in touch.